What will happen when you die? Notice I'm not telling you how you're going to die. Pay no attention to what the pastor might say about that. In fact, you should worry about me if I start talking about how you're going to die, because it's getting rather threatening, isn't it? But no, there is something to be said about how we're going to die. What will happen when we die? And the short answer, if you like, for Christians, for people who've believed and trusted in Jesus, is that it will be great, that it will be fantastic, that we will be with him forever. But then along with that come a number of other slightly smaller questions, but nonetheless questions that might seem quite significant and important. You might be asking, well, can we be sure of what's going to happen at that point when we die? We might be thinking, well, could it possibly be as easy as all of that, just be with him straight away? We might be thinking, would it really be quick? Or is there some long process of waiting afterwards? And we might be thinking, yeah, but is it really going to be good after all that? There are some real questions, even if we're already fairly confident that in the end it's going to be good. Well, the answer, I hope, or some of the answers, we might touch on that today. Some simple and straightforward questions, I hope, we find in these second words from the cross from the Lord Jesus Christ. The background is, of course, is that Jesus was suffering on the cross, suffering terribly, of course. And in the passage that we have read from Luke's Gospel, then a number of voices were ringing out from the politicians and from the religious, from the crowds, from the Roman brutes who had tortured him to death, and even from one of the other criminals there on the cross. And they may have had different views between them. There were no doubt different religions there, and there were different reasons why they were shouting these things. But there was one voice, basically, that they say the same. They're full of scorn, contempt, full of skepticism and derision. And they're saying, if you're the king, then save yourself. But one man was different, the other criminal. Because he cried out, not against Christ, but to Christ. And we are concentrating today on the response that Jesus made to him. Let's read them, these words together. Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, if we listen up, I hope we'll find that we'll actually find in these verses here answers to those four questions which I raised. Is it really going to be sure, easy, quick and good when we die? Listen up, I hope. Of course, some of us here might think we know a lot about this already, and in that case, I might just flag up that we're touching here today on some thoughts and ideas which came forward in the time of the Reformation, when the Catholic Church perhaps had gone wild on some of these things. So, if you think you know the answer to the easy question, well, see if you've got an answer to the harder question too as we come through it. So, let's begin with that first question. Can it really be sure? Can it really be sure that when we die, then we will find the way to heaven, if you want the way of putting it? We use these doors as the way of helping us to think this through. We tend to think, perhaps, that there might be many doors and many paths. And there are so many ways to God, we're told. So many ways to heaven. For example, we might think, well, one of them might be the path to Islam, mightn't it? Well, what other suggestions might there be are offered on the banquet that we can choose? And yet, what else occurs to you? So, Buddhism, yeah? Living a good life, yeah? What else? Doesn't really matter what you believe as you go up the steps, yeah? What else? No, it shouldn't be too hard. Atheism could be Hinduism. I mean, there are so many different possible ways that are being laid out before us, aren't they? Aren't there? It used to be that the issue was, how can you know? Which one should I decide? And perhaps you might encounter people who are wrestling with it, trying to find the right and the wrong path and avoid the wrong path in these situations. Perhaps people could be really quite anxious about this. I don't know if any of you were anxious and thinking, which is the right way? I think, though, that the fashion now will tend to be, well, there actually are many ways, or perhaps any way we choose on our way to God, if that's where you want to go. And it's not really about finding the true path, but finding which one is the one that you prefer, which is the one that you will find works for you, just as long as you don't interfere with people going up another path. Yeah? Nowadays, in fact, the answer tends to be, well, whatever. Who knows? Who cares? What matters now? Not then. But I think there tends to be true that whether you're one of these ancient religious Roman or Jewish people there in Christ's when he was on the cross, or people today when they were skeptics about perhaps Christianity or perhaps pluralism, saying, well, this way if you like, or that way if you prefer. What we all will tend to find these days is that people don't really know anything about Jesus. Not really. They don't really understand Jesus. They haven't really grasped who Jesus is or was. Back then they didn't really know, and right now people don't really know or understand who Jesus actually is. And amongst all of that people back then, there was only one who did. Amidst all of that, one man, the other criminal on the cross, in the midst of his pain, in his own torment, and his own horrible death, somehow he glimpsed that there was something distinct and different about Jesus Christ. That he was getting what he deserved, as in fact all the other criminals who were sitting and watching, all those other people who were involved in there that day were going to get what they deserved. There was only one person who was going to get what they didn't deserve, and that was Jesus on the cross. Somehow he saw the qualities of Jesus and his words. And he realized somehow that he's not a criminal, he's the king. And he can be trusted. Now, I find it pretty amazing that he was able to believe that, and I suspect that the Holy Spirit was a bit at work in there. But that man had got to that amazing conclusion. Jesus affirmed what he had said to him. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." As Jesus, as the man trusted in Jesus, Jesus replied, "You can trust in me." We know more about Jesus now than that man did as he lay on the cross. We have been given much more information in the Bible. We can now trust. We can be sure in Jesus that he is the way, and we can also know that Jesus is the only way. Let's read these verses together. Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what Jesus says to us is essentially the same as what he said to that criminal back there who was trusting Jesus, and we seek to trust Jesus. It's clear that Jesus is the Lord. If we trust in him, you will be saved. We know, if you like, where is the door. And that's all we know. For centuries, perhaps, in the church, mistakes were made. As Jesus became more and more a figure above the church, so many other things were brought in. The saints, the church, so many other things were instituted in between us and Jesus. And we need to understand that, no, it's all about where Jesus is, not about what religious efforts we seek to put into it. There's nothing more we need than Jesus, and we can rely on him. It really is as sure as we might have imagined. The next question. So could it be as easy as all of this? Could it really be so easy? I mean, it's all very well thinking, yes, we can be sure of where we will go when we pass away. But what do we actually have to do? What kind of effort do we need to make to get there? And we tend to perhaps think, well, we've got to get up the stairs, don't you? You've got to make the effort to go up the stairs because the door is at the top. So that might involve prayers. It might involve in good deeds. It might involve in getting of keeping the rules. And most religions believe that in one way or another. Perhaps many of us think that's not enough. We need to be absolutely sure, absolutely confident. So perhaps we need to fast as well. Perhaps we need to meditate more. We need to perhaps give away more. Perhaps everything we've got to spare, and even flagellate ourselves. Why not? Let's try it. Let's just be on the safe side. Well, maybe not. I'm not really suggesting that many people try that these days, but surely everyone deep down is thinking, there's things I've got to do to get up there, and it can't be that easy, surely. We've got to go up the stairs before we can go through the door, if you like. That mistake can be found in the Christian church in years gone by. Yes, we have to believe, of course, but then we must add, we must plus so much effort and work. Yeah, Jesus gets us going, but then we have to do so much to get up that up the path. But here, the answer is no. It really can be as easy. What happens to this man? This man turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." The door, if you like, is at the bottom of the stairs, not the top of the stairs. You haven't got to climb your way up, and if you're good enough, you get through. The way in is at the bottom. Anything that happens after that, maybe, but the way you go in is at the bottom of the stairs. You haven't got to climb your way up. How far did this man get when it came to actually serving Jesus, doing good things, and all those other things that we think we have to do to go to heaven? Well, answer for this man on the cross, absolutely nothing. There wasn't much he could do, was there? All he could do was turn to Jesus and trust in him. And this is how Jesus reacted. "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Today you will experience what I am experiencing in paradise, he says. Isn't that amazing? How easy, yes, easy it really is for us to go into heaven at that point when we die. We call it grace. That's the word we use when it means that God is giving what we don't deserve rather than rewarding us with what we have worked for. Do you see the difference? It's all about what God has done for us when he died on the cross. He was doing what was needed for us to be given what we don't deserve. So there's nothing we need to do to add to this. It's The fact is that it's as easy as can be, if we understood this correctly. But the next question, well, it's a bit more technical, perhaps. Could it be so soon? Or is there some kind of long wait? We're used to having a wait or two, aren't we? I mean, we get a bit fed up sometimes, don't we, at A&E, for example. We have to wait there a while. How many hours is it? 4 hours is the minimum. Of course, they just come in and check that you're okay, and then they leave you for another 4 hours. What about when you've lost something you've been posted to the office and they couldn't get it in, so you have to go up the thing on wine, up the road, what's it called, the post office special place where you have to wait for hours and hours. It's the longest queue you ever find, isn't it? Absolutely, it drags on and on and on because there's no competition, of course, that's why. So could it be the same when we die? Do we have to wait for something to happen, some kind of long wait? Not a daft idea, because, for example, many religions have thought that there is some kind of long wait or effort after we've died before we get to heaven. The Egyptians, for example, there had to be a long, long journey, didn't there? That's why you had to take lots of slaves with you, whether they wanted to go or not. If you were a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu, I mean, we're talking about over a billion people in the world today, they don't believe that things will happen quickly after you die. You believe you have to come back and do it again and again and again and again and again, and thousands of times, literally thousands of times. And you can watch films today as well, modern films, which the theme is all about the long journey between death and the end too. You might understand if you have been in the Catholic Church as well. Then after death, there's no promise that you immediately get to heaven. Exactly the opposite. We have a long time of what is called purgatory. Purgatory? No, I don't mean perjury. That's what you get in court, isn't it? What's the word? Let me purgatory. Okay, I won't even try. I won't even try the word. Goodness me. Yes, we've sort of forgiven, but then we have to work it off. We have to be purged and cleaned. We have to suffer. And do you know how long it lasts? Well, I've had different references, but we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That's what I've heard, anyway. So you're better off working hard to pray and to even pay it off, in order to avoid perhaps a little bit of purgatory. I want to encourage you that it is not in the Bible. In the Bible there is no teaching that after we die we have to then suffer in order to work the pain off when we have our minor sins. And we can thank the Lord for that truth. The fact is actually what Jesus said is the complete opposite to this man on the cross. He said, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise today." There's no queue, if you like. You can enter. "Today," said Jesus, "you may be with me." And that was the very next thing that happened. Jesus Christ himself died, of course, on the cross. And very soon after, this man died on the cross too, was probably brutally killed deliberately, and he was the first to enter in that on that day without any wait, if you like. And that also means, as well as us not having to fear about our own experience after we die, it also means we don't have to worry about other people, our brothers and sisters who have passed away and need us to be desperately praying every day for their purgatory to be or worrying about it. No, we can entrust that they have gone into the love and glory of Christ. So what have we seen so far? The question is, can it be so sure what will happen when we die? The answer is yes. Is it going to be as easy as we've said? Well, yes, understood correctly. Is it going to come soon? And the answer again is yes. It's not something you have to wait for after we've died. Final question. Well, is it actually going to be any good? It can seem rather mysterious and strange. We don't really know what happens immediately after we die. And actually, there's some truth in that. There is an element of puzzle to it. There's not a lot of biblical texts that talk about what happens immediately when we die. The Bible tells mainly about what happens in the end, that is, the end of everything. And the whole world is recreated and everyone is resurrected and all of those things come at the very end. And that's the glory we really look forward to. But in the meantime, between when we die and to that point, what happens then? There isn't a lot in the Bible here and now. Some people think, well, maybe we just go to sleep and wake up then. Some people think, well, perhaps we have to travel around in time and space or watch what's going on around and about and feel very anxious or whatever it might be. But we're not allowed to interfere, are we? Which is a bit frustrating, I imagine. But actually, I don't think we have to worry about it. That's the main point. Because all that we can be really sure of is that between death and the resurrection for the Christian believer, is it going to be good? It's going to be good. And you can know that's true because of that word there. Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise, he says, in paradise. It's a word that's not used very often. There's only three times in the New Testament. And it's a word that actually, I think, has something to do with gardens and so on, but if you're not gardening, don't worry. It's actually really just a picture. It's just a symbolic. It's simply saying it's going to be a good experience between now and then, although not the complete thing that we're waiting for. As we wait for him to come then, there will be what we call a paradise, so a good experience. And we're there because we are with Jesus. That's what matters. That's what makes it a good thing. So worry less about those things and remember him. And there's nothing else to worry about. So we will be sure because of who Jesus is. It will be easy because of what Jesus does for us. It will be quick because of what Jesus says. And it will be good because Jesus will be there. So, the big question. Let's read it again. Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, obviously you said it to that man back then. But if you ask the same question to us now, then it would be the same answer. The same promise to us too. If we've put our faith and our trust in Jesus, relied on him and nothing else, then those words he said to that man are words to you here and now. Maybe you are worrying about what's going to happen. And to be honest, I worry about that too. I worry too about that process of how we may die. And I'm assuming it's only going to happen to me once. That means I'm not going to be able to give you much help. The same for all of us, isn't it? Really, that is going to be hard, the actual process of dying. But what matters is after that. And what is true is that we are welcomed into the paradise, into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you are already a confident Christian, maybe you've put your faith in Jesus 100 years ago, or even just earlier today. Doesn't matter. You can be sure. You can be confident. And I encourage you, be bold, be strong. Do not live the sort of person who is cowering every day about the thought of what your death will be like. Not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Be confident, my friends. And if you're not there yet, won't you listen to Jesus? Won't you trust him? Won't you realize that, yeah, it is a frightening thing to think about dying. But even worse, to think about death forever. Turn to Jesus, and you will have the promise of assurance for the rest of all eternity. Do it now, It can be today. That man on the cross is all it took. And it could be for you as well. Talk to somebody afterwards. I'll gladly explain a little more about what we've been doing. But I've been saying. But now, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think about this matter, we can't help but feel an element of fear when it comes to the process of dying. This man who died on the cross, yeah, he suffered terribly, but it was only a day. In this day and age, we don't suffer quite so well, but it goes on for so long. It's not a pleasant thought. And yet, we know in the big picture, it's not the matter what matters. And what matters is not how we die, but what happens next. And I pray that each one of us, here and now, will be able to put our trust and our belief in Jesus, rely completely upon him, and have total confidence in our hearts as to the promise of what happens now in paradise and in heaven forever and ever. Amen.